Excuse me!
This is Shane Hurricane Helm.
This is Ricky Morton of the Rock and Roll Express.
This is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
This is Tallahassee speaking.
This is Vicky Guerrero, and you're listening to the Pro Wrestling Recap.
Pro Wrestling Recap.
Pro Wrestling Recap.
And if not, what's up with that?
Oh,
I'm on the podcast.
Greetings, wrestling fans, and welcome to another thrill-packed edition of the Pro Wrestling Recap. I am your host, the 5-Hour Energy Basketball Shootout Champion, Chris Spezak. This week on the program, CM Punk's staph infection, Mauro Ranallo's bipolar disorder, and Enzo Amore's assault on our eardrums. All that and so much more as we take you through the top wrestling headlines of the week that was. And when I say we, I'm talking about me and my co-host, the co-host with the most, except when it comes to basketball. He's known from coast to coast, like butter and toast, the benchmark of professional wrestling. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Silky Bane. Silky!
I fucking hate you.
No, you don't. You love me. You weren't loving me on Saturday.
First of all.
When I doubled his ass up.
First of all. Pause. You got to say pause because that sounded very questionable. He ain't double shit up on me. But. What happened was that shit wasn't regulation. You know it. Do you know it was not? It was that infamous, like, you know, the Rockets thing they where Kevin Durant shot and missed and they gave him points anyway.
Oh, shit.
It was in the opposite. I was
now
making them.
Now you're talking like a Houston fan. Look, this
I was making them, and it wasn't giving me the points.
Comic Palooza, you know that shit was last bullshit. Weekend, we went to the 5-Hour Energy booth that they had there. They had a little basketball shootout.
And I won the first
Silky
one.
Silky and I went one-on-one and tied at 16.
I won the first one. He clearly saw me hit the shot at the buzzer. It didn't give me
and
my points.
And in the rematch, it was 36-16, a total beatdown.
That shit wasn't doubled up. He fucking deflated my basketball.
Ridiculous. So anyway, I got that going for me now. And you know, it's we had a great time at Comic Palooza. I want to thank those folks one last time for having us. And you know, I had some guests on the Periscope show. We've had guests on this show forever. We're finally back to our original format here today. So that'll be good. Looking forward to that. And speaking of our original format, we're gonna get right to it right now with the big three.
It's time for the big three.
You know how it works, folks. 2 minutes apiece for us to talk about each of the top three wrestling headlines from the week that was, after which you will hear this buzzer, which means it's time for us to move along to the next topic. And here to guide us along the way, she's lovely, she's talented. She was out of town this weekend, so she didn't get to join us at Comic Palooza, but that was probably a good thing for her because she got to avoid the big crowds and go to Schlitterbahn instead. The lovely and talented Miss Jennifer.
Wait, can I say something?
Sure.
How the fuck do you deal with this guy? Like,
what are you talking
about?
He dragged
me to literally every stand that's so fucking popular.
Look, if I'm going to go to Comic Palooza and get a free pass, we're going to go see some shit. We're going to look at some pop culture.
Why didn't we go see some shit? Did you once ask what Silky wants to see?
Oh, what a bunch of horse shit.
You just were like, oh, let's go
see
this
spot. As if you're like my little brother that I couldn't fucking, you know.
And then it's a big fucking place. He just walks off. And I'm like, where the fuck did he go? I was literally right there.
Welcome to the Spezak family.
I had a good time. I enjoyed myself thoroughly. I hope everyone else did as well.
Did you hold a bag with all of his
purchases? He did not hold a bag.
And a backpack?
I did hold a bag.
When did you hold a bag?
I'm not going to say when, but I did hold a bag.
Oh, well, probably if I had to make a toilet break or something.
Oh,
you know,
my God.
You can't be taking the bag in there.
Not necessary.
No merchandise
sorry,
in the toilets,
audience.
People. That's the way it goes.
That.
Anyway, we digress as we normally do.
Yes.
Jen's here to get us back on track with the big three.
Samoa Joe claimed the final spot in this year's Money in the Bank match with a victory over Daniel Bryan and Big Cass this week on SmackDown Live. Cass was a last-minute addition after being medically cleared following a knee injury, but Joe dispatched of him just before choking out Bryan for the win. Does Joe's victory have you reconsidering your pick to take home the men's briefcase?
Doesn't have me reconsidering my pick because, as we've established,
your pick was bullshit.
I spent a lot of time.
Your numbers were bullshit.
Putting together various mathematical computations and calculations using various algorithms to determine that Kevin Owens is the favorite going into Money in the Bank with a 23.7% chance of winning. You can see that video on Periscope, by the way. I'm sticking with Kevin Owens. I had Samoa Joe. You and I both had Samoa Joe coming out of that match as the winner. Cass getting thrown in there was kind of a surprise.
Can you play my Negro Damas music?
Here is your Negro Damas music right now. Oh, that's pretty nice. You like that, don't you?
I do. I really do.
Of course.
So now, back to... It doesn't change my pick either. I still have The Miz winning this because, I mean, I knew when we made the pick predictions, I had a feeling it would be Joe, so I factored in as if it was Joe winning. So
when you wrote it down on the napkin, you factored that in?
No, no.
Yes.
Did you factor it in when you wrote it down on
absolutely.
The toilet paper?
No, absolutely. I had it all
when
worked
you
out.
Wrote it down on the toilet paper that you wrote
I absolutely
your ass
factored
with
it in
because
when we talk about mutual opponents, we talk about win loss record
numbers.
We put all of that together
you know
into a very complex formula.
Hate you. So
and we come up
sometimes.
With an answer. So, yeah, anyway. I'm sticking with I like Kevin Owens. I still think Kevin Owens listen, you can't go wrong with either of the guys that either of the three guys that we've mentioned now that yeah. we talk about Samoa Joe as well. If Joe wins it, if Kevin Owens wins it, if The Miz wins it, I'm great with any of those three guys. There's not really anybody in the match that I would be disappointed if they won. I think if The New Day won it, that would be such a shocker that we all go, "Holy shit, that's great."
Yeah,
I don't see him doing it,
yeah,
but
I don't see that's a 0%.
Bobby Roode, I wouldn't really dig on seeing Bobby Roode.
I mean, it'd be kind of, but what I'm not liking is that they've made mention that if you win, you can only cash in on the champion of the show that you're on,
which is kind of dumb as well.
Yeah, I would have liked the intrigue of like seeing maybe a Miz cash in. Well, obviously he wouldn't because you know his character's way too smart for that. But like possibly a Miz cashing in on Lesnar.
Yeah, just have him run it. Absolutely. I think
yeah, something like that.
It's a little disappointing. But yeah, neither one of us changing our picks. Kevin Owens with a 23.7% chance. I think he's going to take it.
We're just a few days away from the finals of New Japan's Best of the Super Juniors tournament, and there is still no clear-cut favorite. Each wrestler has at least two losses, meaning all 16 competitors are within one win of the points lead in their block. Either of you want to take a stab at who might win this thing?
I'm going to go with Marty Scurll.
You're going with Marty Scurll after he starts out with two losses and now all of a sudden he's in first place.
Yeah, he picked up three. So I'm going with Scurll. I'm calling that it's going to be Marty Scurll and Ishimori in the finals because New Japan does stupid shit like that, Bullet Club versus Bullet Club. I picked Marty Scurll for the win. I've always wanted to been thinking about this for a while. Why the fuck is Will Ospreay in this anyway?
Yeah, I don't understand that either.
Yeah, because isn't it if he wins, because just last year, Kushida won, and then he fought the...
He earned a title shot.
Yeah.
Because of it. Yeah, that was kind of odd.
So does Ospreay fight Ospreay?
Yeah, it's...
Isn't that like masturbation or some shit?
It's weird how that works out, yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to pretend that I put the same amount of work into this one as I did with my Money in the Bank picks. You know, I don't have quite the precision calculations involved here. I'm not even going to play. I'm looking at the standings here. I don't know who half these fucking guys are.
Gordon,
some of these guys I know, you know, but like...
Ishimori?
Yeah.
Tiger
Mask. I remember him. I loved him when he fought the Dynamite Kid. You know, what is this? His great-grandson? This is Tiger Mask 4? Like, what the fuck is that?
And Will Ospreay?
Listen, I'm sticking with ACH because he's a Texas guy. I'd love to see him win. Also, the only indie guy that's on here. Everybody else is Ring of Honor or, you know...
CMLL
or New Japan, whatever. And listen... Yeah, well, I know Sho and Yo, yes. ACH.
And Taguchi?
It's a stretch for
so
him
to win. So
it sounds
like
it.
You really know pretty much everyone in this fucking
thing. No, I do. I know a lot of these guys. I'd love to see.
You just said you didn't know any of them.
No, I said I don't know most of these guys, like half these guys. I don't know who the fuck they are. I want Marty Scurll to win it, and I want Marty Scurll to stop singing fucking pop songs, stop singing Britney Spears songs, and just be that badass fucking British gangster that he is where he just comes and says, I'm the most... fucking difficult prick in this whole fucking place, and I'm gonna take your fucking title, and I'm gonna win. That's Marty Scurll. That's who we love. Dropping f bombs, talking
Marty
about being
Scurll.
A ruthless cunt. Yeah, that's the Marty Scurll that I want to see. That guy needs to win it and fucking crush things.
Scurll?
That was a good Marty Scurll, I thought.
Oh, it was not.
It wasn't a bad Marty Scurll.
Well, I mean, by definition, if it was not a
good
one,
fuck
it was a
let's
bad
move
one.
On, Jesus.
Proceedings are underway in the defamation lawsuit filed by WWE Dr. Chris Amon against CM Punk and Colt Cabana. Amon is seeking over $1 million in compensation for comments Punk made on Cabana's Art of Wrestling podcast back in 2014. Punk claimed that his requests to have a large lump on his back removed were repeatedly ignored, and that the lump turned out to be a staph infection that caused him extreme pain and discomfort. Amon claims no such requests were made and that Punk's comments are defamatory. Does the doctor have a case?
Yeah, I like CM Punk as much as the next guy, but he's kind of full of shit on this one, I think. If he had this gargantuan baseball-sized lump on his back that he's repeatedly asking the doctor to cut out and the doctor is refusing, then somebody would have seen it. There would have been video evidence of it because he was on TV all the fucking time. It seems iffy to me. Now, I did follow. I have been following the trial online. WrestleZone.com has a person sitting in the courtroom, basically just taking down notes of everything that's going on and what people are saying. I know,
like TMZ.
No, it doesn't matter. They're just reporting what's happening. The defense, Punk's defense, did show a series of emails where he's constantly telling this doctor, "Look, I feel like shit. I don't feel well. I feel tired. You know, I need some kind of fucking Z-Pack or something like that, and you know, help me feel better." Blah 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 blah. But as far as this noticeable, sizable lump on his back, I think he's exaggerating. I think he's kind of full of shit. Now, I'm not going to say that his contention that this is WWE's way of getting back at him by suing him and having this doctor sue him is not 100% accurate, because I totally don't put that past the WWE. But come on. I mean, it seems kind of silly. I think the doctor has a case. I don't think he's going to win. And I certainly don't think he's going to get $1 million for it.
I don't even think he has a case, honestly.
I don't see how you don't think he has a case. I mean, when you go out there and basically just absolutely just fucking crush a guy.
You see that right there?
Yeah, you're sure. Okay, Silky's showing me a picture on his phone.
And it's clearly like a, I mean, it's a noticeable, I wouldn't say baseball size lump, but it's a noticeable fucking lump.
Where are you getting this picture from? You're shitting on WrestleZone for being sitting in the courtroom, and you fucking pull the picture up on the internet.
Yes.
And go, "Oh yeah, there it is right there," because nobody photoshopped shit on the internet, Silky.
It's oh, like, yeah.
If it's on the internet, it's got to be true.
Yeah, just like if it's on WrestleZone, it has to be true. Anyway, I say that it's clearly, I mean, point being is that...
So you fucked around all that time looking on your phone, and now the buzzer went off, and we got to move on. You don't get to say your piece.
Well, fuck.
No, go ahead. You're talking about the doctor.
I think that there was something there, and even if... I don't know. I just don't think the doctor has really a case, because he's really just speaking what his version of the truth, of his truth. You know, they always say there's, you know, three sides of a story. His side, their side, and then what actually happened. So we'll just see, wait and see. But I don't think he wins. And
the word was that they were trying to settle it, and that Punk was basically saying, "Fuck this, I wanted to go to trial because we're going to win." Yeah. So, you know, to be continued. I think there's some interesting stuff to come for sure. All right, before we get on to the best of the rest, I want to tell you about how you can interact with us here on the program. Of course, make sure to hit that little subscribe button wherever you happen to be listening to us. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, SoundCloud, whatever the case may be. We would appreciate that. If you'd leave us a review, that would be even better. We would appreciate that even more. And you can always check out our website, pwrecap.com. And of course, hit us up on social media. Silky will tell you where you can find us.
You can find us on Twitter at pwrecap. On Instagram, we're at prowrestlingrecap. Or you can look for us individually at Benchmark Silky and at Chris Spizak.
And of course, we are on Periscope every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Central Time after NXT. So be sure to join us there as well. We would love to see you. We'd love to talk some wrestling with you. So spread the good word and help us get the word out about the program. We appreciate it. So 90 seconds apiece for each topic from here on out. And for that, we kick it back to Miss Jennifer.
Sasha Banks earned the final spot in the Women's Money in the Bank contest by tapping out Ruby Riott to win Monday's seven-woman gauntlet match. While Bayley and Riott did much of the heavy lifting, Banks came out last and forced Riott to submit to the bank statement. Now that we know the entire field, who's bringing home the Women's Money in the Bank briefcase?
And I have no idea, because I was tanked when I kind of put all my eggs in the Ruby Riott basket.
So you, okay, and she didn't even make it into the...
No, she did not make it in.
Well, that's okay. Nobody knows that. No, you didn't hear that. Nobody heard that.
Yeah, nobody heard that.
Who you got in Money in the Bank, Silky? Women's Money in the Bank.
1 second.
Okay, while Silky looks up the actual participants in the... Jesus, Silky, it's Charlotte, it's Becky Lynch, it's fucking... I can't believe this guy is just not even going to pull a name out of his ass.
I'm going with Ember Moon.
He's going with Ember Moon.
There we go.
There you go. You're going with Ember Moon.
And that's not entirely because that's literally the only one I can recall at the moment.
Oh, Jesus, man. No, it's...
There's, like Chris said, there's... algorithms and
now all of a sudden algorithms
and enzymes and shit.
You know, I would love to see Ember Moon win it. I would love to see Lana win it, because this thing's chock full of former champions.
Lana.
So yeah, I don't want to see a champion win it.
Still rather.
And you
see...
got Sasha Banks, she's a champ. You got Charlotte, she's a champ. Becky Lynch, she's a champ. Naomi, you got all these former champions in there. I'd rather see somebody different win it. I think that would be interesting.
Even if it's Lana.
Okay, maybe not Lana, but okay. My fear, and I'm actually going to make this pick because it's WWE, and I hate that they do stuff like this. My fear is that they're going to give it to Charlotte. And I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it.
I don't see it. I don't think they will.
I don't know, man. I could totally see them doing it. It would suck, but I'm going with Charlotte Flair. I don't like to make that pick, but I'm going with Charlotte Flair.
One of the few matches that has actually been announced for September's All In event is a potential title versus title match between NWA World's Heavyweight Champion Nick Aldis and Cody. Aldis said this week that he'd only put his title on the line if Cody put the Ring of Honor title on the line as well. The problem is, Dalton Castle is the Ring of Honor champion, not Cody. Did Aldis just spoil a major plotline in Ring of Honor with his announcement?
Yeah, they kind of fucked this one up because the way I see it, one of two things is going to happen. Either Cody's going to go win the title off of Dalton Castle, and this was a major spoiler, or Cody's not going to win the title off of Dalton Castle, and then neither one of the belts is going to get defended, and that's a fucking disappointing match. So either way, they've painted themselves into a corner with this. Yeah. I'm not a fan of it because it just seems like such a major gaffe. I don't know.
Yeah, it's the NWA, though.
Well, Cody's talked about how... I listened to his interview with Edge and Christian a couple weeks ago on their podcast. And if you guys haven't heard it, it's outstanding. I would highly recommend listening to it. He's talked about how he's made some mistakes along the way in promoting the show and so on and so forth. I'm not entirely sure that this wasn't another one that they didn't kind of go, oh, fuck, you know, like maybe we shouldn't have done that.
Well, I mean, it was Aldis, though. So, I mean, we don't know how much of this was direction he got from.
That's true. Maybe he's just out there doing it on his own,
or it could have been something like where he's like, hey, I'm about to get this Ring of Honor title, you know, just, but it hasn't happened yet, and so all this just not, I mean, who knows,
it's kind of a wait to see, but it's, I mean, he fucked up. It seems like they fucked up right now.
Yeah, they because fucked up. That's they definitely,
and I don't totally. Imagine Ring of Honor is very pleased with this coming about totally either, because yeah, that means even if Cody doesn't win, you know, he's at least getting a shot now. So there's no fucking build up for that. You know, it's not like they're going to tell any kind of story around that.
Or if they don't, I still say think the NWA title goes on the line. They'll find some stupid way to fucking put the title on the line and Cody wins the NWA World Championship. That's my Negro Domus moment.
Oh, play my music fucking again. Music. There it is again. You like it then, aren't you?
I am.
The much-anticipated documentary Bipolar Rock and Roller, a look at the mental health issues of WWE announcer Mauro Ranallo, premiered last week on Showtime. Newsweek wrote that the film is, quote, an eye-opening and admittedly tough watch, but that's the point, end quote. Ranallo says that he hopes the potential good that may come of the film's release will be his lasting legacy, not his broadcasting career. How big of an impact do you see Bipolar Rock and Roller having on the stigmas attached to mental illness?
I think it's going to have a big impact. I mean, I watched the film. It was tough to watch. I mean, I didn't know that this was planned for so long. I mean, this goes back to when he called fucking Canelo and Mayweather, and probably before that.
It was a long time ago, yeah.
I'm not a big boxing, so I don't know timeline of the boxing matches. But it was, like, just hard to watch. Like, they showed everything. It was totally uncensored. It's not, you can definitely tell it wasn't like him saying, well, this was me having an episode, let's go ahead and cut that.
Yeah,
they put all of it in there,
didn't they? And apparently they had a lot of home videos from a long time before. I didn't see the film. I saw just watching the trailer,
yeah,
and seeing some of the meltdowns that he has. And you and I both deal with people very close to us who deal with mental illness in some form or fashion. And it's difficult to look at, but at the same time, you've got to look at it. And for a guy like him to step to the forefront and say, look at me, I'm dealing with this on a daily basis, and I'm okay, I'm going to get through it.
Yeah.
I think that's huge.
Yeah, and that's kind of the point of what he was wanting to do with this film, is to show that it's not a life sentence. It's not something, once you find out that your life is over. I mean, there was some very deep stuff that was touched on, and even more in interviews after, where, you know, he's saying, like, about him not knowing if he wants to even find a wife or try to have a wife and kid, because he doesn't want to pass that on.
Right.
But just in dealing with, I mean, it was just hard to put into words how moving and great that film was.
Yeah, much love to Mauro Ranallo. That's a fantastic piece of work he's doing.
Just days after police determined there was insufficient evidence to file sexual assault charges against him, Enzo Amore was back in the spotlight, just not in the wrestling spotlight. The self-proclaimed smack talker Skywalker released a music video for his new rap song titled Phoenix, in which he takes more than a few shots at his accuser. Any chance we'll be seeing Platinum in Enzo's future?
Fuck to the no.
Come on, you're not loving on Enzo's rap career there?
That shit was terrible. Terrible, as Cleveland Brown would say. That was terrible.
You didn't like it?
No, it was terrible. It was awful. The videos, mildly insulting to your fans that you're supposed to say you love. You're saying you love in the actual rap video.
Yeah, for those who haven't seen the video, he's kind of pissing on this, you know, fat guy sitting out in his mom's basement or whatever.
Eating Cheetos and Oreos and...
talking about how he's watching the 25th anniversary of wrestling. Yeah, it wasn't a very, very flattering picture of wrestling fans.
And then after that, you go into this horrible, horrible... And first of all, I've been listening to rap music forever. I'm talking about back Wu-Tang Clan, that type of shit.
Yep.
That's rap music. This is not. This is... Can I do the... I'm gonna just say it. What I told you before. This was like if rap music got pregnant, tried to abort the baby, and then the baby somehow survived the abortion, and
terrible.
That aborted baby was Enzo Amore's music video.
God,
it was so fucking bad.
That was disturbing. That was disturbing.
I went to a dark place there, but it was so fucking bad.
You know, my
first of all, who fucking takes a diss shot at someone that's not even a rapper? She can't diss you back. Like, that's not how this works.
Well, she did kind of fuck up his life and career.
I mean,
so.
She did, but it's like that fucking commercial. That's not how this works.
I mean,
that's not how any of this works.
My reaction to it, you know, when I heard that Enzo Amore had made a rap song to respond to his accuser was, of course he did.
Of course.
This is like the most Enzo thing to do.
Oh my God, it was so bad, though.
Yeah, it was not very good.
It was so bad.
Jim Cornette and Kenny Omega are sparring again on Twitter, and the world is a better place as a result. Their latest tiff started when Cornette took a shot at Kota Ibushi and Omega after someone tweeted video highlights, if that's what you want to call them, of Ibushi wrestling a blow-up doll. Omega responded by reminding him that he's okay with Cornette using his name to make a living as long as he, quote, refrains from polluting my TL, end quote. What do you make of the latest shots fired in the seemingly endless battle between these two?
I love it. I love every second of it. I love when Jim Cornette gets worked up because it's absolutely hilarious. I want to read the tweet for those of you who didn't see it from Cornette here. This was his response to the video. I'm quoting Jim Cornette. So apparently this is the great, I'm air quoting great there. Apparently this is the great Kota Ibushi that some people rave about. Another piece of shit playing wrestler that hangs around with noted disgrace to our business, Kenny Omega. Birds of a feather shit the same, apparently. Someone please tell him I said... fuck you. And I just think that's absolutely hilarious.
It is very...
He gets so worked up about people doing shit that makes wrestling look stupid.
And I understand.
I don't have a problem with it, but I don't get that worked up myself. I can't.
I mean, before I even really started following like Omega and like Ibushi at all, I'd seen these videos. And I shit on the videos because, I mean, as someone who wrestles, I was like... this is fucking stupid.
It is stupid.
It's just so dumb. And I stand by that just because it turns out those people were Omega and Ibushi. But then again, it was in the same fucking company. So how much of that is them and how much of that is the company telling them, you know, they're paying them? Because I don't give a fuck what you say.
You can walk out the door.
Say. Shit, you're in Japan. You're in a as far as Omega, you were in a foreign country. This is about probably where he started.
I have a hard time believing that Kenny Omega said, "I'm really not feeling going out there and wrestling an 8-year-old girl or 9-year-old, however fucking old she was."
It's not like
he's
going to be blackballed, but he's going to lose whatever. I'm pretty sure they compensate him pretty fucking well to do that shit.
I have a very strong feeling that he was perfectly okay with it and was probably on board with it from the get go.
Yeah, and he may have been, but. I'm saying that, I mean,
we can
walking
agree
away.
It's fucking stupid, though.
We can agree that you're wrong and I'm right.
No, it's stupid.
But
it's
no, it is definitely stupid. We do actually agree on that.
Numerous former NXT, now WWE superstars, have begun popping up at NXT events in recent weeks. First, The Revival joined Cassius Ohno for a six-man tag match in Houston. Then, Ty Dillinger made a surprise appearance in Orlando. With precious little TV time available on the main roster, are we nearing a point where main roster superstars may actually return to NXT?
I think it's actually a good move to do that because when you have some of these guys that... Well, it's a double-edged sword because now that I'm more thinking about it, because of the fact that these guys go up to the main roster and it's that transition is a bitch when you think about it.
I can only imagine.
Because no matter what, their fans are rabid NXT fans, so they want to see that NXT person heel or face in the main roster. It is almost impossible to go in with like what fucked up Bobby Roode, what fucked up The Revival. When they first, it's they came and the fans were so happy that someone they've been watching from the what they feel like is the baby steps of their career made it that it turned them a pseudo face, and then the fans didn't really care as they were doing their heel stuff.
Yeah,
and so it's very hard. So, but then on the other side, I'm wondering the going back down. Are you gonna still get that same treatment?
Well, first of all, you're not going to get the same money. I can't imagine that the money is the same in NXT as it is on the main roster. You're not going to get the exposure. And if you're not getting the exposure, then that's going to hurt things like your merchandising sales and everything like that. Now, if you're talking about
NXT has that cult following, though,
that's
so
true. But you think about how many more people
merch sales, but
think
maybe
about
your money.
How many people haven't heard of The Revival and haven't heard of Ty Dillinger and haven't heard of, you know, Bobby Roode is another example. That heard of them because they went to the main roster. I'm with you. I think it's a good thing in that it gets them in the ring and it gets them performing and it gets them performing on television. I don't know. Again, a lot of things have to change. I wouldn't mind seeing it just because I like seeing those guys wrestling, but
yes.
I don't think that it's going to happen anytime soon.
I don't think it's going to be like a full demotion, but you know, every now and then when they don't have anything on the main roster, chuck them to NXT for a couple of shows.
Totally agree. And I think all of them would be fine with that. I think yeah. They would love to go back. All right, folks. Well, we're running out of show here, so we are going to take it home. 30 seconds for each of us to rant about whatever it is we choose to rant about. And it's been a little while since we've done a take it home. So we're going to let Silky go first. Silky, 30 seconds, sir. Time for you to take it home.
Enzo, Enzo, Enzo. This is what... I'm going to pull a Tanahashi. This is my letter to you. Please, dude, like, get with some musicians. Get with some rappers. Learn proper, like, formatting of a rap song. And then try it again. Learn some inflection, some punchline. It was just really bad. For someone who's so good on the mic, how was that song so fucking bad?
I like how you worked it there at the end to make sure you got the full 30 seconds.
I did.
It's like that old Mark Harmon movie, Summer School. I don't know if you ever saw that.
I've seen that movie.
Remember when the Chainsaw and Dave had to get the very, 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 very... Okay. Yeah. Old movie reference for those of you who haven't seen
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we're really fucking old.
All right, well, 30 seconds. Time for me to take it home. You know, a lot of people are making a big deal out of John Cena saying that the Velveteen Dream could be the one. I think this is a non-story, people. Look, I appreciate what it must mean to Velveteen Dream for a guy like John Cena, a 16-time world champion, to give you that kind of endorsement. But look, John Cena is not booking the main roster. John Cena is not booking NXT. John Cena is not doing any of that kind of stuff. It's great that he would say that, and it's great for Velveteen Dream and his confidence. Not that I feel like he's lacking in that area. But look, let's not get too worked up. Dream's got a ways to go. Just give him some time.
That's it. That's it. It's all over.
All right, folks, that's going to do it for this week's episode of the Pro Wrestling Recap. Thank you so much for joining us. Make sure to subscribe wherever you happen to be listening to us. Check us out on Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Central Time on Periscope for our live show. We had a great one this past week, so we hope you'll join us for the next one.
So Chris was a total sexist.
He was the sexiest, and no. If you go watch the show. You'll see what I'm talking about. Until then... For the Benchmark, Silky Bane.
Yo, yo.
And the lovely Miss Jennifer.
Night-night.
I am Chris Pizak. Thank you so much for being with us. We'll see you next time right here on the Pro Wrestling Recap.